For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about Kumite Podcast. A podcast.
Oh. Ooh. The Kumite brings it. Sorry, it the felt Kumite. So good.
Blood sing. It's blood singing.
That's what it is.
Sing sport.
It's sing sport blood. It's blood sing sport. You're listening to Two Chunks and a Hunk, and it's me, Jordan, and you're here. Welcome.
I'm Doge. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Alamos.
Alamos who?
Alamos who?
Alamos at the end. Alamos at the end. Alamos at the end. Alamos at the end. Alamos at the end.
What?
I'm Carter.
Alamos at the end.
What's the joke supposed to be?
Alamos.
What is the joke supposed to be?
Alamos at the end.
Make it. I can't make it stop. I'm Carter, and no shit, you honor his invitation.
Yeah,
I wanted to talk. We're going to talk about a movie in the second half of our podcast. And it's great. We made a change. We made a bit of a change. We thought we were going to do Heat.
A bit.
We thought we were going to do a 3-hour long great movie starring Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. And then we ended up saying, you know what? More of a dad thing would do a 90-minute movie. With Jean-Claude amazing Van Damme and Forrest Whitaker.
Instead, let's do a 90-minute amazing.
I think let's say, like, in the fiction of, like, in our dad imaginations, that maybe our podcast dad watched the first 20 minutes of Heat and then flipped the channel on commercial and saw Bloodsport was beginning and was we're watching Bloodsport
today.
We're
going to watch Bloodsport instead.
It makes way more sense. It really does, especially after the Total Recall energy. Like, this is what we had to do. And so I appreciate the guys being down for that change not too long ago. Before we do that, in this first half, we're going to talk a little bit about some reality TV news that came out and have some fun breaking down a cast reveal. But before that, let's talk about another reality in that movie theater business not doing so good.
We've known that for a while.
Not good.
The first quarter of 2024 is something like the worst ever. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I read that.
Because I seem to recall a time, I wasn't alive, but it was before movie theaters and they made zero monies. So I guess this is worse than that.
This is worse.
But out here in the DFW area, which I'm sure the majority of our listeners are from this area, you might have already heard that all 5 locations in the DFW area, including Denton, I guess it's interesting. Different articles said Denton was a part of DFW. Some articles didn't. I think it's because I really don't know. But All the Alamo Draft House is shut down.
Its own state.
Yeah. It just happened.
If you hadn't
heard
the news, you probably just heard my screams on the wind.
Yeah.
Also the same day that we found out about Alamo closing all across DFW, they also announced that the Angelica closed.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Just a bad day to be a theater in DFW. The Plano one. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just wild. Just such a big bummer. Our Discord community, we plug our Discord community, that $5 tier on Patreon. Like, if you need a place to come grieve, hey, you know,
to come mourn,
just give us we'll grieve with you if you pay us, you know.
That's fine. You don't even gotta wear all black. You can wear whatever you want.
Wear whatever you want.
We're not like strict, like churches and stuff.
Wear whatever you want. Listen, this is a conversation. Cool, though,
man. You can wear that.
The breadcrumbs that led up to Alamo all shutting down, as shocking as that was, it's certainly a conversation we've had on this podcast for quite some time, in that movie theaters are having a really hard time. I got to tell you, I was a bit teased and fooled by Barbenheimer, because here was a couple of big movies that didn't have the most blockbustery vibe, and they made bukus of money. And so I thought to myself, well, we're going to be great. If we remember my crystal ball projections for 2024, I thought that Dune 2 was going to make over $1 billion. It definitely didn't. Furiosa, which is a great movie. I mean, it's critical acclaim doesn't really mean anything right now. Even audience acclaim, because people just aren't getting to the theater. Furiosa still hasn't made more money than it cost. And it's been out for...
Furiosa is like on the list of like humongous flops at this point.
Yeah. Oh, what a bummer. It's something at like $50 million in the red right now still, which is just absolutely crazy.
Jeez.
And so it's a lot of things we know. It's pandemic. It's writer's strike. It's also, you know, the Alamos in particular had, I think it was their financier that had filed for bankruptcy, pulled out. So there's a hope that the Alamos come back. But not too much else to talk about there. Did y'all have anything to add?
I'm starting to forget
outside of
Alamo,
just Big Sad? Just about to forget.
Big Sad? I mean, yeah, I just think it's like... It's tough to be a movie theater. I don't remember the last time I went to the movies not for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the last time I went to the movies and for the podcast and wasn't a little bit like, oh man, that was so expensive for just going to watch a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, I'm devastated, and I hope Alamo survives this, because if you are going to see a movie, it's like Alamo feels like one of the last bastions to go see a movie and be pretty confident that it's going to be a mostly positive experience. But man, like, going to the movies sucks. So I get it. Like, I love seeing a movie in a movie theater, but the amount of times that I've had, you know, phone screens lighting up the whole theater the whole time, people talking the whole time, kids running around, whatever. And then on
Munchy
top of
boys
that,
and girls.
Yeah, sure. On top of that, you pay $18 to $20 a ticket, and then, you know, snacks on top of that are insanely expensive. And then you arrive at your showtime and you sit through 45 minutes of, you know, Chevy Truck Month ads and Maria Menounos telling you about some movie that doesn't come out for a year that you aren't interested in seeing before you start 30 minutes of previews for other movies that you might see one of. Like,
yeah,
you can't not help even but like, feel like the 30 minutes of previews.
Yeah. Right. The 30 minutes of previews isn't even like a new thing. Like, that's been movies as long as I can remember, sure. But
at this time, we've already seen them at home. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that never adapted to the fact that those trailers all came out on YouTube the Monday of the week that I'm going to see this movie on a Friday.
Yeah.
I used to love trailer. I used to be so pumped.
Me too.
To get that first taste. And you just really can't do that anymore, because it has to follow the money. And that's not really what makes money. It's like, you got to get clicks. And if anybody understands that, you know, that's us. What if that's
I'm hunting for those clicks.
The podcast
always
just ends anytime. We never knew that, but the podcast just ends anytime we say that. It's just over now. It's just over.
No,
now.
Don't say it. No.
Something that's definitely not over. We've talked about this show a lot on this podcast. I thought it would be a good conversation. We had a recent cast reveal for Traitors season 3. If you don't know Traitors, it's a collection of reality TV personalities. And so what a great place to fluff up our love for reality TV and talk a little bit about some of these characters. Alan Cummings remains the host. I can't imagine that show without him. I know we've only had 2 seasons. Do you want to have a little little asterisk here too is that we, the three of us, very noticeably saw a dip in enjoyment from season one of Traitors to season two. And I don't think it was just the shine of Traitors season one and the cast. And because I think they're going to always keep the normies out. No more mudblood, like the actual people. It's going to be celebrities. And I think that's fine. I don't think that's what really brought down season two. It was kind of game breaky. There was like too many things for me personally that I didn't like about it. I think there were really good personalities that got out early. It just didn't really work.
I think the thing for me that brought down season two was that it was it felt like they were leaning heavy on the, Carter, I know this is your side of it. They were leaning heavy on the Bravo side, on the drama star side, rather than the like competition
people that play games.
Star side. It's just like,
I agree.
It felt like most of the cast for season two, by the time we got like halfway through the season, it was like, okay, everybody that was playing this, like it was a competition, like it was a strategy game, is out now. And so now it's just, let's all go as a group and try and eliminate people who have suggested a Real Housewives name before. And there was, felt like very little actual strategy.
Mm-hmm. I also think for me, a big downside for season two was straight up terrible performances by reality legends that should have been running the game. So like watching people that should have been incredible be genuinely awful at the game was shocking enough that it kind of like threw the e-brake on my enjoyment of the season. Like Dan Giesling playing a strategy game that poorly is inexcusable.
It was wild.
I kind of feel like Dan's whole humongous misfire just set the season off on like, at that point, the Traitors were just on the back foot the whole season.
Which can be interesting. I want to be clear that is like a super interesting way that the show can go, but it just didn't work out to be that interesting in season two for me personally.
Yeah, for sure. And reality TV is such a unique thing. And we were talking about this because it's like, I know for the three of us, we love reality TV, especially competitive reality TV. And if you look at the ones that are successful, they've been around for actual ever. Like season 47 of Survivor is coming soon, and we've already got a cast for that. Big Brother, The Challenge, tons and tons and tons of seasons for these things. Even Amazing Race, which I'm surprised we haven't seen any yet from Amazing Race.
That is
Traitors.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. But all that to say, there's quite a bit of
the
grace
are too
for...
Nice
there's quite a bit of grace for... interesting reality TV show that has had 50% of it be enjoyable, right? We're on season three, so I still have some hope here.
Yeah.
That we
it's
can
a pretty
make
good
this
average.
Work. Pretty good average. Well, especially if you're a baseball player.
I've only watched UK is the only other version of Traitors I've watched, but it was awesome. So like there's other versions of the Traitors that are doing well also. The formula works.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely works. I'm gonna guide
us
through this.
Is Alan host UK?
No, I don't think so. Who hosts UK, her name, I can't remember her name all of a sudden. I love her, dude. She plays Taskmaster. And that was where I first, Claudia Winkleman hosts the Traitors UK, and she is, phenomenal. She's second only to Alan Cumming because he is, of course, as we all know, Alan Cumming.
Perfect.
The one. Just quickly, those who don't know the concept of Traitors, it's basically if you've ever played Mafia, like there are designated people that have a certain ability or power to murder, while there's also simultaneously opportunities for people to try and find these traitors and vote them out. So it becomes kind of this chaotic whodunit, protecting yourself, protecting others, building alliances. It's a ton of fun. They took a card game and put it in a Scottish mansion for about 3 weeks, and it's a lot of fun. I'm going to walk us through USA Today's list of our cast. I just wanted to do quick profiles on this crew. And I was excited. There was a handful of these that I was glad to have a face to the name because I know who Bob Harper is, and I like Bob Harper a lot. I had just forgotten about him, but this was one of the former Biggest Loser hosts. And on the show Biggest Loser, when we say host, we mean trainer. These were the people that were like motivating people through the process, really helping them out. Bob is great. Bob left the Biggest Loser because he had a huge heart problem, was able to overcome that. He's done a lot of like health and fitness books up to this point. Bob is a wonderful personality. Jillian Michaels was also, that's where her fame started on, was on Biggest Loser, because she was also a trainer, and it was Jillian and Bob. And Bob was my
Jillian
favorite.
Michaels video game when I worked at GameStop.
No way. A video
like
game?
A Biggest Loser, like fitness game or something. Yeah.
Was it on Wii?
I think it was either Wii that's or like amazing. Xbox Kinect.
Yeah. Feels like one of those.
Oh, like a workout boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think Bob's going to be great. I think he's a
cool,
great personality. I think he's a game player. And I think that's fun because I think we need to,
good,
especially when we get to some of these Bravo celebrities. It's exactly what y'all were saying. It's like they just kind of got people that were dramatic, which I think it's fine to have your cast.
Kate in season one was amazing. It's not a Bravo problem. I just think last season's Bravo cast was not game.
It was just not it. Yeah. Yeah. We go from one Bob to another. There's quite a few Bobs this season. Bob the drag queen. I think if you were to...
So
if you were to
liked.
Say, we're all drag queen fans here, RuPaul's Drag Race, Bob would have been a top five queen I would want to see on this show. And I think my hope is, because another awful thing about season two is I think Peppermint was viewed as a threat and we got rid of Peppermint way too early. That would have been so much
like
fun.
First, maybe, I think. Right?
I think no, in the realm of, was first. If you've watched any kind of reality TV, there's always the interview portions of things, right? The camera to just talking to the person, talking about the scenario. Drag queens are S tier in the interview process and they make shows so good.
Yep.
And Bob is going to absolutely
Bob is whip smart and super fast. I think that this game is going to serve Bob very, very well and vice versa. No, Callie and I have already put together a list of our top five drag racers that we feel like would be great for the Traitors.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like Bob, too, is one of those who he might have been one of the first to begin to do like strategy in Drag Race.
Yeah, totally. Mm.
And so, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to have him on the show. Then here's one I don't know, but I need I'm going to call my big brother here. Brittany Haynes. Tell me a little bit about Brittany Haynes.
Dude, Brittany is going to be phenomenal on this show. I'm not sure how good she'll be at the game, although I think she could be amazing at the game. It just depends on how
she's set
up here.
She's good socially.
Oh, she's amazing
socially.
She's
good at making friends with people, yeah.
But Brittany Haynes is Jim from The Office. Brittany Haynes will, she will make eye contact with the camera. She will have inside jokes with the audience. She will be... If the cards land right for Brittany, she will be in charge of something, whether that is the Traitors or the Faithful, I do not know. But she's the good kind of drama that is only fun, and I cannot wait for her to play this game.
I think I can see her excelling as a Faithful more than as a Traitor.
Yeah, at this point, I don't even know that I'm willing to like call trust. That shot anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. Season two was just... too much chaos to know who's going to be good at what.
That's true.
Next up, we've got our first housewife. Let me tell you a little bit about Chanel Ayan. She is Real Housewives of Dubai. That we are in
Chanel
season.
Chanel Ayan sounds like the name of a robot from like a science fiction show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a door. We are in season two. Come out.
Yeah. Of Real Housewives of Dubai. Chanel is chaotic neutral. She's also hilarious.
Okay.
So. She's just going to really throw a wrench. I could see Chanel saying she's going to vote somebody and then just decide otherwise because someone didn't like the dress that she wore that day. So she's like super housewives-y, but she's going to be fine. I don't know how long she'll last. She's one of those that if she was on Survivor, people would be like, I don't know what she's doing. It's to the point that we're far enough in the game that we've got to get rid of her because we have
no
idea.
Well, we got a couple of those survivors in here too that we don't know what they're doing.
exactly.
Valid. Is Chanel Ayan the future robot? Is Chanel a gamer or is she going to be there for the drama? That's what I got to know.
I think she's both. She is very dramatic, but in a really cartoony, self-serving way.
Okay.
She talks about how gorgeous she is all the time. She's like the boss bitch kind of thing. It's fun. Then we have Carolyn. Remind me, is it Weiger? Carolyn Weiger from Survivor. Yeah. She was one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see more of her in general.
I'm not sure she'll be good at this show, but she's going to be fantastic on this show.
I don't think that she will.
Yeah.
I don't think that she will. She is a reliable number, I think, for the faithful. I think being a traitor would... I think being a traitor would maybe not be the best. I get so choked up about it. I think being a traitor would maybe not be the best use of Carolyn's unique talents.
I think Carolyn is one of the most self-aware people that has ever been on reality TV. But she comes across as not self-aware because she is so comfortable with who she is. But I actually to her think, in postseason interviews, she is crazy smart and crazy aware of who she is and how she comes across. And she's super emotionally intelligent, which actually is kind of a superpower in the traders. So I don't know. I think that's she could be a real contender here.
I think she'd be a great trader. She held secrets on Survivor, which especially in modern day Survivor doesn't happen anymore about different immunities and perks that she had access to for a very long time.
Yeah.
And so I think that's true. She's one of those two that we saw kind of grow on Survivor. So I think maybe if Traders was the first thing she ever did, she'd be not so good at it. But
I think I she's true. I'm interested to see a post-Survivor Carolyn.
She is going to
I think
cry.
She's
going to
be a lot of fun. She will.
Yeah.
And she'll get pissed if like a bunch of dudes won't listen to her because that's exactly what happened
for
on Survivor.
Sure, dude.
And so she'll freaking go.
And that's going to happen on Traders. That happens every time happens every on Traders. Season.
Yeah. And there's only been two.
The bros get there and they're like, we can figure this out.
Chrishell
Stouse. We already know.
Selling Sunset is not a Bravo show. You would think it is, but it's a Netflix show.
Okay.
But Chrishell Stouse is the S-tier person from that show, like the most famous from Selling Sunset. She's incredibly capable. She's really smart. I think she'll do a good job. We don't have to spend too much time on her. I do want to talk about Sierra Miller. Sierra Miller is from Summer House on Bravo. Sierra Miller could win this show. Incredibly intelligent, incredibly charming, and a very shoot you straight kind of person. I think she will be really good at not being a traitor. I think she should be a faithful, but she'll be super loyal. She'll be the kind of loyal that isn't blind to other opinions. I think a lot of the times people start to see red at a certain point and they just refuse. They just completely shut down because they get so comfortable with their alliance that they don't hear anybody's opinions. Sierra is also like, she can suss out the truth. There's a lot of people in Summer House that are liars and Sierra's just never had time for it. And so I think she'll do great.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
She knows. Like all of her interviews, Sierra's one of those in an interview on a reality TV show that is saying what the audience is thinking, what a smart audience is thinking. She's a great person to have an aside.
Yeah, I love a good narrator. And be like,
yes, thank you for putting that into words for us. I do not know Danielle Reyes. Can you tell me about her? This is another Big Brother.
Big Brother legend.
Early, looks like. Yeah.
Famously ruthless, famously brilliant. She, in a world where Britney is like a social mastermind, Britney is like a strategy game person. Danielle's very smart. She's very charming. She will be a ton of fun on this show. She's one to watch, I think. But she has a reputation too, which can be a bad thing for the traders.
Yeah, not so good. Dolores Catania, she's from The Real Housewives of New Jersey. This is Chelsea's favorite housewife on Jersey and one of Chelsea's, my wife's favorite housewives. Dolores is basically Sierra Miller if she was a mob boss. So it's like...
Great.
Cool.
We're talking about
Dolores. Yes, dude. I think she could be good at any role in the game. Okay, she is like, if you were to draft, she's certainly a first round draft pick for competitive reality TV. She's one of those that makes complete sense to pull her from the Bravo sphere and the housewife realm into competitive reality TV. I think she'll do really well. I'd be surprised if she didn't.
Awesome.
We have another semi-chaotic neutral, Dorinda Medley.
Is it Dorinda Real Housewives or Dorlinda? Of New York.
Dorinda. There is no L. Dorinda. Dorinda Medley.
There's a spelling error on my list.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's not it. It's Dorinda. D-O-R-I-N-D-A. She is...
Got it.
So fun, but she's one of those... She's a housewife for me that I have loved and despised. Like, it goes up and down. But okay. maybe there's not going to be a lot of alcohol in the castle. That usually tends to influence how I feel about Dorinda. She's pretty high and mighty. She's pretty selfish.
Sure.
But she presents herself as someone who's not at all and very giving. So she could be a villain.
Okay.
And I think if she ever has a point where she realizes she's a villain, that'll be the best. Because then she'll be like, cool, let's just burn it down. So.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah, Dorinda is a wild card. Dylan Efron is, I just think, Zac Efron's brother?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Don't know. End of sentence. Don't know much. He's probably going to be like the guy that was Love Island USA that was really sweet and
yes.
just made it far. And he's like your puppy dog going to be your number two, you know, grunt kind of guy to go do your bidding. He's always sure. going to be end up being a meat shield to get you as far as you possibly can. Maybe Dylan Efron, don't know yep. much about him. We've got a Bachelorette contestant. I don't know. I jumped off of Bachelorette with my wife around the time. I can't even remember his name anymore. But we were just tired of it. Colton, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jumping over the fence was just like, I'm done. Well. I'm out. Do we know? Does anybody in here know Gabby? Is it Wendy?
I don't okay. know Gabby.
Way to go, Gabs. Co-lead of The Bachelorette in 2022. Contestant on Clayton's season of The Bachelor. We get some more survivors, though. Jeremy Collins. Excellent. Our survivor picks this year.
Top tier.
Right? Carolyn is maybe the only one, and they all really got far in the show.
Yeah.
But Carolyn might be the only one that's the most, we're not totally sure how she'll do.
Well,
I think all of our other survivor contestants could win. Yeah, unbelievable. Jeremy is so, so good. He was on three seasons 29, 31, and 40. He's going to be made for this. Wasn't he a cop?
Firefighter.
Firefighter.
He's known for playing a pretty like straight up and loyal game, like a pretty honest and
yeah.
like just right down the middle, win comps, make alliances, play the game kind of a game, which cool. is great because the other two survivor men here are not known for that at all. And so that'll be an interesting dynamic to have in the house. But yeah, I think Jeremy, if
all three of them were on the All-Star season.
Yes.
Or Winners at War season.
If people in the house are familiar with Jeremy, I think he will be somebody they will want to work with.
Yes. You don't want to work with the other ones that we'll mention here in just a little bit.
No.
Because they are and my giggling is because I love them so much, but they're villains, I would say.
One of these guys, I'm not sure if you have a choice but to work with. I think he might just get to pick who works with him based on every other thing I've ever watched him do.
He's always done it. Yeah. Yeah, his best move is to control the entire board.
The one season, we'll get to it. We'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah. Good luck to you, Lord Ivar Mountbatten. I think
I love him. Mountain bottom.
I know him.
A British
stuff.
Royal.
Lord Ivar Mountbatten.
Mountbatten, he's best known for the famous jeans that he made that would show up later in a rap song. The Mountbatten jeans, the boots with the fur.
Bottom.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Lord Ivar Mountbatten. Here's why I'm excited for him.
Mountbatten jeans, boots with the fur.
Boots with the fur. One of my favorite shticks of season two, Alan Cummings is a great host because he will speak his mind. Like he will, he leans more RuPaul than Jeff Probst, even though Jeff is getting a little bit more chaotic recently. But
Jeff got spicy this last season.
He got real spicy this last season. But Alan's interactions with our Parliament John from last year were some of the best things. Essentially making fun of John. There's like something that happens when the United Kingdom gets together that it feels like there's ancient beef, you know? I don't know what it is. But I think we're going to have some fun with Alan's reactions to Ivar. And maybe there's a chance that we love him. Nikki Garcia. She is WWE wrestler, former wrestler. It's funny how we just try and get fighters. Another thing that hurt season two is our world-class boxer just left the game. He was a great contestant.
He left the game because it was too much.
This man has made millions beating people's brains in. And he was like, no, I can't do this. I can't lie to them. It's a different kind of game. But Nikki Garcia, good luck. Don't know the most about you.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
anything.
Then we get to Boston, Rob. I am afraid that he is going to go the way of another, like if you walk in with a nickname, you're already a threat on competitive reality TV.
Yeah.
Is he going to be like Johnny Bananas? Is he about to just get voted out the first day?
So here's the
thing. I think it's going to be a Dan Giesling, a Parvati situation where people are just like, I've watched your other stuff, so I just don't trust you no matter what.
Yeah.
Boston Rob is just better than those two people.
And how many, does he have any grandmas left?
Won't be.
That was a long time ago.
That's not him.
Oh, you're right.
That's not him.
That's how you get clicks. I'll see you guys later. I've been Doge.
No, Boston Rob is simply a better player than those two. And I think that, well, Parvati got screwed by Dan. I want to say that. But I do think that Boston Rob is famous for on his, I believe, fourth season of Survivor after he already had the reputation, forcing his entire tribe to go no contact with the rest of the players in the game.
Unbelievable.
And operate under a buddy system where they weren't allowed to go to the bathroom by themselves, so they couldn't talk about him.
Unbelievable.
And they just did it.
Bananas.
They complained about it the whole time, but they just did it. He has a superpower, and that superpower is manipulation. And I think that, look, there's every chance that he gets in here and everybody goes, absolutely. I mean, if I'm there, I'm going, wow, Boston Rob, it is an honor to meet you. I have to get you out of this game immediately.
Yes. Yeah, I'm writing your name down every single night until you're not in this castle with me anymore.
I think there's every chance that he is not long for this world. However, if anybody could pull it off, it is Boston Rob.
It is,
I mean,
dude.
We got
Ceree,
his greatest
one, season one.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know?
Boston Rob, I feel like people aren't even talking about his greatest trick is convincing me that he's Johnny Fairplay as I try to think about
him. He didn't even seem to have to do anything to do that. It seemed like
that's how good he is at competition reality.
Yeah, he's great. And this is probably the worst casting, in my opinion, for being a housewife's girly. Me, myself, a housewife's girl. Real Housewives of Potomac. Robin Dixon. Robin is... Bravo, she's kind of dull. And I think she's going to be... So we had Sheree in season two that was really good friends with one of our traders from season two and was just super... easy to manipulate and just kind of coast along. I could see Robin making it to like the last five because she just doesn't do much, you know?
I would love
to see it. She has high points, but she's just kind of there. I don't think Robin's going to do very well. Then we have like the massive bomb of the season in the Bravosphere, Tom Sandoval. And the Bravo world has been around for a long time and has had a lot of people that have been despised. Tom Sandoval is the number one villain. This is the man who cheated on his wife with one of their really good friends. Not wife, but partner. I mean, they were basically married. They'd been together for almost a decade. And he's...
His nickname is Tom Scandoval because of all the scandals.
Scandoval, yes. He is the worst. He is awful, but he's going to be good for this show. Because what happens now is Tom Sandoval gets to be in a room with like Sierra Miller, who's also in the Bravosphere that I love, that could rip him up with Rob. Like we're basically, you get to watch him just be thrown to the sharks in an area that he's not going to be good at. Now, here's the thing. A narcissist could be good at traitors. So I would not be surprised if Tom is a traitor. If Alan taps him on the shoulder in episode one. Because I think it's so obvious that no one would vote him out. They're like, there's no way they're going to make a worldwide known piece of ish like the traitor. It's just too easy. Anyways, I'm fascinated that he's there. I could care less that Sam Asghari is there. They say on USA Today, model and actor and Britney Spears' ex-husband.
Yeah, there it is. That's the one.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's it.
There it is. So who knows, dude? I don't know. I just want to hurry up and get to Tony. Tony Vellachos is back.
Yes, please.
And he's only ever won Survivor. Like any game I've seen him play.
No, he's played three times.
Oh, he has played three times and
he's played
twice.
Times. Sorry. But still, that track record's insane.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Because the one isn't it the ones that he won were Heroes and Villains and All-Star? Like he won.
No, Sandra won Heroes.
No, no, he won his first season. He won his first season. He won his first season. Anyways, Tony's amazing. So we've already seen Tony and Rob on the same season, but they've never been in just a house together. Like these guys are going to get to interact so much more. I bet there's going to be a cutscene this year on Traitors to where they have the exact same plan and aren't telling each other, right? Of like,
yeah, probably
backstabbing the other person. I'm going to make him think we've got a survivor alliance, but you better know that like, and maybe even saying it at the same cadence that they're going to get each other at some point.
Tony is like in a world where Boston Rob is Danny Ocean, you know, Tony is, the juggernaut. They both rob banks. They just do it very differently. Tony is chaos incarnate, but in a fun way. It would not surprise me to see the Traitors production build in some hiding places for Tony to,
that's what he's known for, man.
I just got to say,
he's sneaky boy.
My favorite Tony moment of all time is Tony's second season playing the game. They get to their beach on day one. And he just goes around and shakes everybody's hand in his tribe. And he keeps saying, gentleman's game, gentleman's game, gentleman's game, gentleman's game. No hard feelings, right? It's just a game. Everybody says yes. And once he shakes the last hand, he throws his hands up in the air and goes, and then takes off sprinting into the forest to find an idol. And then instantly finds an idol. And at no point for the entirety of the rest of the season does he not have minimum one idol.
That's amazing.
He's a madman, and I love him for it. I'm very excited to watch him play.
That's the best thing is like if you get – they could vote – they can't vote out Tony and Rob the same night. You know what I'm saying?
That's
it's
true.
Like we'll get one of them for more than one episode.
2 weeks probably.
Rounding it out is Wells Adams, who is a guy that kid. I really like.
Good
I really like fun. From, really he was on The Bachelor, Bachelorette, right? And then was.
Yeah, but that's not what he's famous for. He's famous Bachelor for being Sarah Hyland's husband and dealing
and Sarah
delicious
Hyland's
tropical
husband.
Drinks.
Wells Adams always felt like somebody who wasn't really meant for reality TV. He's like too wise.
Genuine.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I didn't like Peter from season two just because I don't like
Pete
his
that was
aura.
Promised, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, you took the words right out of my mouth. Wells is the Pete that was promised. I think I bet he was one of the first people that they cast because they were like, hey, this Peter thing almost worked.
Let's get
Could we just like stretch him out a little bit and make him more charming, like genuinely? Yep. Like, yeah. Oh, Wells?
Yeah,
he's free.
Wells is a day one trader. That's the only guess I have for somebody who's getting tapped at the table day one is Wells Adams.
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the cast. It was a bit long, but it's fun. We love reality TV. We got a whole crew here. The only ones we didn't know much about were a bachelorette and a wrestler. But if you know more about
And a British royal.
And a British royal.
Yeah, and a British royal.
Say,
jump in our wax poetically in our Discord.
If I could get a world where the first round of three traders is Wells Adams, Brittany Haynes, and Bob the Drag Queen, I will die happy.
That would be fun.
That dynamic of that group would be astounding.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Astounding.
That's all I want.
So I think they've done a good job here with this cast. And
there's a promising cast.
Hopefully some of the game making changes a little bit. To meet our needs, our personal needs. And that's because we understand the needs of the people. And so if they can just meet our three needs, then it's going to be a good show. So, yeah, I guess we can go to ads.
I guess.
I guess we could do that.
Welcome to Shoutmouth.
Sorry, we're in shout announcements. I don't know who that guy was, but we got him out of the studio. So you guys are safe.
He's gone.
You're clear. I'm going to go grab my water to hydrate. So don't you do shout outs without me.
Won't do it. You crazy boy.
We would never. We would never.
Don't.
Okay, dude. Bye. Give him time for one more. No.
Wait. Yeah, I thought he was going to come back.
Okay.
Is he?
Oh, that's a closet door. No. I thought he was actually leaving.
Welcome to the real shout announcements. That's right. That's right. It's our shout announcements now, baby. Listen, we've got a community. We've got a community that will grieve the loss of Alamo with you, that will go to see Inside Out, like have plans to see Inside Out 2 with you, and then change those plans because the place that you were going doesn't exist anymore from what we heard. So we're working on that. We're going to try and figure it out. Hopefully by the time this is released, we would have. So we'll have to, we'll have to change the game plan a little bit. But that's that $5 tier of Discord. The $3 tier still gets you some extra votes when we have voting series, some extra eps. Discord, a great way to get a little bit more plugged in to Two Chunks. Discord is also going to be a great place to be when, you know, we kind of tease that there's a big thing coming. And so...
Yeah.
Not too far off in the future, but we've got obviously some more content that we're really excited about that we think you're going to love because we love it. And we kind of tend to love similar things. And we love different things, and that's fine too. You love what you love, but you're going to love what we have coming up.
I am actually, you know what? I'm willing to bet that if you're listening to this right now, wherever you are, no matter what you're doing, your face is on, and I want to encourage you. I just want to like shift that paradigm a little bit, challenge you, step out of your comfort zone. What if you took your face off and joined us next week for our face off episode? We're excited because we're actually watching this one together. That's something we don't do often. We're getting together to watch face off as a group, and we would love it if you would, if you'd also watch face off and listen to our episode about it next week.
You guys ready to do shout announcements?
Oh, we have. We already have. Oh, sorry. I know you explicitly told us not to, but.
Yeah, we did anyway. We did anyway.
We were far too tempted. Can we talk about Bloodsport?
Oh my God, can we?
Can I would love to talk about Bloodsport.
Dude, Jordan, if I hadn't been like so... in the realm of like writing and super focused and busy yesterday when you were texting more and more how much you love that movie, like I would have joined in. I just want you to know that. Mm. And I knew we had this time like on the pod, but like I watched the first 45 minutes of Bloodsport and I know we have to do our whole thing. Synopsis,
sure,
whatever.
We got
thing,
yeah. But no, we got so like
Bloodsport
whole.
Bloodsport breaks all the rules. So I'm breaking a couple. Laughing out loud. Alone in my office. Like, yes. Only one in the office.
Yeah, same.
Looked on IMDb. One of the genres IMDb gave this movie was B action. Like,
yes.
B
amazing. Movie. Amazing.
Cool.
Anyways.
Like Jerry Seinfeld.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of breaking rules, I would like to give the synopsis for this movie, if that's okay.
Ooh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Yeah, cool.
And I'd like to
I guess
give
I'll just
you,
like hang up the call yeah, see or later, like
man. Okay. I'd like to give the same synopsis that I gave to my wife driving in the car. She normally watches the movies with me, but I had to watch this while she was on some calls yesterday. And we drove to go check in on my mom post hip surge. She's doing great, by the way.
Oh wow.
And on the drive.
Awesome. How long do you think she's back to fighting shape?
Will
she make it to the next
weeks.
Tournament?
She's got titanium hips. She's like a cyborg. So
wow.
Okay, come on now.
It's gonna be pretty nice.
Actually, that might
definitely
be an kicker advantage. There.
She's gonna break your leg, dude.
Yeah. That might be a she might saying. Be
we know how gruesome broken legs
she can
look
kick
too.
At 300 miles an hour. I'd like to give
she got the servos put in.
I'd like to give the same synopsis that I gave to my wife. If that's okay with everybody.
Yeah.
Bloodsport is the best movie I've ever seen in my entire life. B- Bloodsport is the stupidest, most nonsensical film I've ever watched. Played completely straight. Did you guys look into any of the behind the scenes stuff? Please tell me you did.
No.
Okay, Doge, I'm about to shatter your universe, but I'll just wait.
Okay. All right.
Bloodsport begins with a smattering of shots of some people in, what's the name of the walled city?
We'll just say the walled city.
The walled city in China. They're setting up and getting ready for the Kumite, which is a tournament where all the best fighters come together, just Mortal
sweeping
Kombat
sweeping a white mat.
Hey, honestly, though, it's kind of badass. Like the opening with like everybody doing their individual training, and then we just end with the shot of him like Kowloon.
Is the walled city. Everybody's getting ready for the Kumite, which is a tournament that all the best fighters come Mortal Kombat style to prove who the best one in the world is. We then cut to...
I actually think that Mortal Kombat is where they all come Kumite style.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like, Mortal Kombat was inspired by this movie.
So this is some of the... Yeah, by this movie.
Yeah.
The game was inspired by this movie.
Yeah. We then cut to Jean-Claude Van Damme, henceforth known as Jean-Frank Van Dukes, and he is he is doing military, and
as best he can
is told, "Hey, people need to talk to you because you can't go do the Kumite." And he's like, "Well, let me go take a shower real quick." Except he's like,
"You mind if
he's
I shower like, first?"
Yeah, he's actually
I'm
going to go take shower first. And then they're like, okay, but we're going to watch to make sure you don't do any funny business. And then he's in the shower for too long. And the guy's like, hey, Dukes, where are you? Oh, no. And then he runs across the entire military base and is like, we got a problem. And then the most confusing 20 minutes in cinema history takes place.
Yeah.
Because Dukes walks into this house and looks at a sword.
This is so good. This part is so good.
Yeah, no, it's great. Amazing. It's all great.
Yeah.
Wait till we get to the super dump. Spoiler. Don't have one.
I do. I definitely do. I'll say it right now. I mean, my super dump is the talking. Anytime there's any talking, I'm just like, this is boring. Show me kicking. Show me punching.
Yeah, let's do kicking. No, I won't be doing a super dump for this movie. But the, so we jump back, I assume about 20 years to when Dukes is trying to steal this katana, gets caught, and then is trained by the father of this family, but only kind of trained, and him and the son become friends. And then after all of this, which they got this kid to talk just like Jean-Claude Van Damme, is amazing.
It's like the kid was too good, and then they hit him so hard on the head.
Yeah.
That's we need you to be just a little dazed. We need like little cartoon birds.
I'm not gonna just be your punching bag. I am not your punching bag. Who is this child? We never see him again.
Yeah, this person
is a faceless IMDb person. Faceless. He had one shot, and it was a great one. He gets to tell his family, his generations. Watch me in this movie. That's me, dude.
It's incredible.
I was a young Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know.
we train as kids. We grow up. We become begrudging friends with son. Boom. Now we cut. This is the confusing part because Jean-Claude Van Damme looks and is dressed the exact same as the day he's going there in the house. But it's clearly not that day because.
Is it clearly not that day?
It's definitely not
that day. No, because he flashed. Then
he trains for like another year after that.
Okay, that's true.
The training where he becomes like.
The stretched man.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a born again Fistian where he's like on his rope cross and like,
and he's like,
do we love showing him in the splits, bro?
First of all, that was we'll get there. But yeah, the splits are awesome every time. That hits every time.
It's cool every time.
Basically, he's like, I need to fight in the Kumite. It's very important to me that I get to fight in the Kumite. And then his trainer is like, no, you're not part of our family. We're not going to let you do that. He's like, please, I must do it for my honor. And he's like, okay, fine. And then they train for like.
Stop. This is my favorite Jordan impersonation. Doge and I get to have many of the like badges on our uniform of impersonations that we get to like claim. And
Jordan has a couple, but this one,
he just has.
You found it.
This is just the biggest one. It's like a big Superman S, but it's just JCVD.
Oh, it's just congrats. Incredibly pretend French is what it feels like you're doing.
Oh my God, it's so good. Anyway,
so it's gonna be hard for me
to get through this if you can.
He trains him. I got a lot of these in here. So he trains him anyway.
Got trained for the Kumite.
It's important for me to do it for my honor to train for the Kumite. He does. He trains him. He pulls him on the ropes. This was the moment where I was like, oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme's like too pretty for these movies.
He's gorgeous.
Yeah. The dude is like pretty Harry man. Styles if he was buff is what he looks like.
What? Yeah. He's the most action figure looking dude.
Yeah. I told Callie, Arnold Schwarzenegger is all hard lines. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a panzer tank. Jean-Claude Van Damme is a Corvette.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's smooth so and good, beautiful.
Man. Yeah.
So anyway, he trains. And then we go back to the same living room again. But
yeah,
this time it's
bizarre.
I assume a full year later. And he's like, he goes into the room. He's like, how are you feeling today before I go to fight? And the guy's like an old man. He's like, I'm still going to go probably. And he's like, are you sure it's going to be dangerous? He's like, yes, I have to do it to win the Kumite. And then boom, we're in China.
Kong. Yep.
I wrote the only quote I wrote down for the whole movie is what is it? Jackson. Big dude. What Jackson says to the young woman on the bus when he shows up, which is, hey, babe, you want to go out with a real big man? Anyway.
Mm. Oh, dude.
Does that work? Like, does that work?
Is it big dude.
It didn't. So we get to China. Dukes meets Jackson, who's just a big fella.
He's a real big man.
Callie, he looks like Peter. I was calling him Peter Jackson. Because looks like if Peter Jackson ate Peter Jackson.
I told Callie, basically, all you need to know is just picture the guy from the mailroom in Elf, and you're 90% of the way there.
That's good.
So we...
real quick.
We get...
Wait. His trainer is Tanaka, right?
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
Trained by... Okay, so I do want to take a special moment here in the realm, especially
this
of 80s action, but just action in general. But I do want to say, like, there will never be another... Pat Morita's Miyagi, right?
Right.
And no.
It happened once. But to this day, any trainer, you know, it's either going to be Rocky's trainer or Daniel-san's trainer.
Yeah.
But it's like never again, dude. Someone.
Yeah.
What a flash in the pan in 1984, 4 years before this movie. And again, Bloodsport was trying to be a lot of things and it failed. That's what makes it so charming and so good.
Right.
But like Pat Morita's Miyagi will never be replicated. It will always be attempted, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, dude.
Yeah, there's an earnestness to this movie that makes it work despite how bad it is.
Sure.
And like, part of that earnestness is really thinking it had something and trying to do Miyagi again and trying to like do all this stuff.
Dude, our cutscenes of Tanaka during the training where it's just like they'll show his face looking stern and then the next scene, and they did this 8 times. The next scene is just Jean-Claude launching himself onto the pad
falling on the ground. Yeah.
Yep. It's pretty
insane. None of this is actual fighting. It's amazing. Go ahead.
So anyway, we just to run you through the quick stuff, we get to the hotel. There's a pretty reporter who's being told no left and right by people. She can't access the Kumite. Jackson and Dukes become friends. They head to the Kumite to sign up where... apparently part of the qualification is being able to prove you were actually trained by the person you say you were trained by. So Dukes has to break the bottom brick in a stack of bricks using what I can only assume to be mystical magical powers.
It's the Tanaka punch.
He does do this. And then
the death punch.
They protect the reporter from some rogue Kumite participants who are being violent. They go participate in day one of the Kumite. It's all just like ridiculous and over the top. And Chong Li, who is like the biggest person,
for real,
that dude's
dude,
pecs.
Fun moment. So this is the guy, he was in, Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee. So when Lee has the famous scene, boards don't hit back.
Yeah.
After this
bricks don't imprint,
that's
back,
him.
Says,
this is Chong Li. Yeah. So he gets to have like a bit of an homage. Which is like anything that feels clever feels way out of place in this movie.
Like, dude,
so I just
want
to say like that's why
this. Yeah.
Don't talk.
That's why it stood out.
Yeah. No, it's you're absolutely right. But we get the 14.3 second knockout followed by Jean-Frank Van Dukes's 12.7 second knockout, new world record. A rivalry is born. Basically, all you need to know is that for the rest of this movie, we kind of jump from day full of tournament to Dukes playing a literal game of chase with two rogue CIA agents that are searching for him.
The youngest Forrest Whitaker I've ever seen.
Forrest Whitaker,
truly.
This is the biggest example
Sapling Whitaker. He's like Flowerbed Whitaker.
That's very good. Forrest Whitaker is in a different film. He's not in Bloodsport. Forrest Whitaker.
Well, I got so excited to see him because I was like, I know this guy's a good actor. So I was like, I can't wait to see what this looks like in this movie.
Did he have any lines?
Some.
What? Yeah. A couple.
I barely remember him speaking. Again, the talking was my super dumb because like, no, I'm not here. I didn't push play to watch people talk. I pushed play to watch people kick.
Forrest Whitaker is the worst part about this movie because he's the best thing in this movie.
Right.
Like, he's too good and he throws the vibes off of everything.
Right.
Like he's acting like he's in a film and everybody else just showed up and was like, when do I get to hit things today, please? And so it's not going great for Forrest. So anyway, he plays a little game of tag where he genuinely is like, nah, 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 you can't catch me. And like,
you can't get to me just yet, huh?
Yeah.
And like just keeps like going all over the place. Dude, the moment these CIA guys are so dumb, which is classic like action movie. Yes. Anytime we have like the government, they're stupid.
So when he runs across the boats,
just get on
either side of that.
Right.
Just get on either side. Cut it. Just cut him off. Don't run with him. Anyways.
That was the longest.
He's such a polite guy.
The longest, slowest chase I've ever seen.
He's just like doing his stuff and then he's like. And like come back and just be like,
what are you guys doing?
It's amazing. Yeah.
It's incredible. So the ending of this movie happens in a sequence of fights in which basically all you need to know is that it is apparently legal to dodge a kick with the splits and then attack a man's scrotum.
Dude. Uh-huh. Like his face was amazing.
I think it's Air Bud rules. Like there's no rule that says you can't punch a guy.
So you can't.
In his beanbag.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, his faces in this movie, we could do an entire episode just about the faces he makes.
It's an extremely, extremely GIF-able movie, I think.
I had to watch this movie with headphones because Callie was on calls and the ADR.
Oh my gosh, it's terrible.
Present throughout this movie with headphones on. It's like, it sounds like it's coming from a different room than the rest of the movie.
It's bad. Dude, so anyway, to be a good action star, which it's wild we haven't done a Van Damme movie. And that's a part of the reason too that we had to make the switch for Dad-A-Day Afternoon. The fact that it took us this long to have a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Trust me, friends, there will be more, obviously, at this point. But like to make an action icon, they do have to fully sell out, right?
Yeah.
And I think 100%. In a lot of senses, it's like when you're fighting. Or when you're exclaiming something, right? There was a worry maybe with Jean-Claude that he's just going to be this stoic dude. But when my guy fights, he's a different person, bro.
He's a different person.
You got to be able to give it your all.
To me, he's like if Jackie Chan wasn't funny.
Yeah.
In terms of martial art, where it's like not maybe the most convincing fighter, but very athletic and flexible and doing cool things.
It's like... Dude, it's like the really, I mean, it's an awful thing to say, but it's been in movies and stuff. It's like, hey, you're pretty, just don't talk. Like, it's better if you just don't do anything. Like, or try to be, when he tries to be charming, it's creepy.
Yes.
No one, his wink is disturbing.
It's awful.
It's bad.
His wink is weird and robotic and creepy. It doesn't work.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is eye candy, baby. Just be pretty and hit things. That's all we need you to do.
Yeah, if you're doing something that an action figure wouldn't do. You're doing it wrong, Jean-Claude Van Damme. You are a G.I. Joe who was cursed by a witch to come to life. Only do G.I. Joe things.
I could listen to him talk for 5 hours. No problem. So basically, right before the fight where Jackson gets destroyed by Chong Li is one of my favorite moments in this movie when Frank gives Jackson advice. And the kind of thing that only exists in movies.
Yes.
Where this character is just like, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need it. I don't need what you're saying. And Frank's like, listen to me, please. You need to make sure that he do watch his right leg and don't let him hit you. He's going to be
That's
dangerous.
The strongest.
I did not hit her, Mark.
Yeah. And anyway, Jackson gets annihilated. Chung Lee steals his Harley Davidson bandana.
Dude, yeah. Wait, five feet from the corpse. Yes. So my super pump is Chung Lee. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
He chooses to, in the most climactic moments for his character, where he's trying to drum up more energy from the crowd, or when he's doing a final move or something, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't make noise. He doesn't make noise. Why isn't he not like, yeah, let's go? Like, he's just like, doing weird stuff. Dude, when he has the Harley Davidson bandana, when he has that bandana, they're like, Chung Lee, dude, we don't have much film. We're just going to let you do whatever you need to right here. Be as intimidating as you possibly can. And he looks like if a gorilla was like bringing a plane into the runway. Doesn't know. It's like, oh, like they gave you the orange cones and they're like, oh, okay. And he like takes the bandana.
Yep.
Dude, and he's just like, I don't have a bandana, so I'm just going to do this. But he's just like. Like, and he just takes this bandana and taunts. It reminds me of the funny videos where like some guy in Italy who's making gelato and he keeps trying to give the person the gelato, and he's doing this trick to where, hey, have your family film it, because he's never going to get this in his mouth. Like, he's trying to do that and it's so bad. And the whole time, Jean-Claude Van Damme, who's going to win this, everybody knows he's going to win this, he's the best fighter in the room, is being held back by our lackey with our mullet.
Vic.
And it's dude, Vic is great.
Vic's great.
Oh my God.
Dude, they ADR'd all of Chong Li's sounds too. So all of those, like,
yes, dude, it's so great.
That's awesome, dude.
That's so crazy. Many close-ups of this.
Yeah.
Of just his hand doing something that's like, oh shit, he's about to charge up his move.
You gotta move.
Yeah,
he's holding me.
Wait, you killed a guy.
Yeah, dude. So anyway, we go visit. There's a whole subplot, a romance with the reporter. She
get out of here.
Way in,
we don't need it. Like, we don't need that. Get out of here.
No, you do need it, and it's in there just enough for a movie like this. But basically, she's
it's
like,
a lot of talking. It's no
I'm
kicking.
Punching each other. Do you have to hurt each other? And he's like, I have to win the kumite for my honor. It's very important to me. And
it's not ever going to be bad for me.
He visits Jackson and he's like, I'm going to do this for you because you're my brother. And then he goes and he works his way up in the final fight of the kumite. And for some reason, for the final round, they're like, ramps. And I don't know why.
Oh,
but for
yeah.
the last round of the kumite, they just changed the mat to have ramps for
tricks.
Some reason.
Then, also,
tricks.
The guys who came out to clean the blood and only, it was like a 2-year-old cleaning a stain on the couch. It's like, you're just pushing it. You're just pushing it to other places. It's blood on a white mat, guys. We should have thought about this. Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, maybe make the mat red. So they step out, and one of the best things I've ever seen in a film is that Chong Li has what I think can only be described as blind powder.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is.
Do we know what this is supposed to be?
No, listen, you know full well, if you've ever had Alka-Seltzer, on the warning, it says may cause blindness.
For a little bit, though.
A couple of minutes, probably.
It causes blindness for too long to not be medically problematic.
Dude, have you seen O Brother, Where Art Thou? Yes. Jean-Claude Van Damme's blind is the same as our guy who runs the radio station.
Yeah.
The one who's like, that's a mighty fine a picking and a singing. Like, that's what I kept thinking about.
Dude, him fighting by echolocation, lampshaded at the beginning by catching his master's arm at dinner.
I know. It's so stupid.
What a callback.
It's
what a
so
callback.
Stupid that this movie had me going, oh, it's so, it doesn't matter that he's blind. Dude, he can fight with a blindfold on.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, we got him. Dude, Master's wife, bedroom eyes the whole time, dude.
Yeah, sure.
Mm, yeah.
She's giving bed. That's her only thing was just be like,
oh. I mean, you've seen him.
Yeah.
I get it.
I mean, I've seen him. Dude, if we didn't have the relationship that he has with the reporter, we would not get the tone buttocks of Jean-Claude
okay.
Van Damme, which
that
I
moment,
did not mind at all.
That moment, that shot, it cuts to him and he pulls his pants down and then back up. They cut to that too early in editing. They cut to the shot, and I guarantee you if we did not mute the audio track, we'd show the shot and then hear action, and then he would lower his pants and then pull them back up. We rewound
that three times
because it was so funny.
Yep.
Yeah. Because it was so funny.
It was hilarious, dude.
Jean-Frank Van Dutte.
Three times.
In slow-mo, we paused it for a while.
It doesn't. Okay, here's the deal. It doesn't look like a real butt.
Dude, it looks,
he doesn't look like a real human. Like,
it is so hard.
It looks like.
It looks like.
Amazing.
It looks
it
like
is
two,
amazing.
It looks like you cut a cantaloupe in half.
You could bounce a quarter off that ass. He delivers, I believe it is 6 roundhouse kicks in a row. And I want to be clear that he misses all 6.
Uh-huh.
But it's still cool.
Yeah. No, he's charging up.
It's really cool.
He's charging.
He clearly can fight.
He finally takes down Chung Lee. He makes him say Mate, which is uncle. He gives up. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
He wins the Kumite. He goes back to Jackson with his Harley Davidson bandana and is like, I'll do anything for you. You are my brother. And then Jackson is like, anytime, anywhere, anything you need me, I'll be there.
There's a sequel, so.
All right.
I bet Jackson shows up again.
Neither of them are in the sequel.
Wait, what?
Unbelievable.
Bloodsport 2 and 3 are a spinoff of Bloodsport.
Oh, who wants that? Nobody wants that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jackson's there, but Jean-Claude is not.
That's crazy.
And I'm out. Sorry, dude. I'm out.
Anyway.
I'm out.
He turns himself in. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is on the stairs to the airplane, and Forrest Whitaker's like, man, he was supposed to be here. I guess he played us. And then they turn around, he's at the top of the stairs. He's like, well, it's taking you so long. I did not think you were going to be here. And then Forrest Whitaker goes, you know, you're a pain in my ass. And then Frank sees the reporter get out of the plane, and then she does the worst bow I've ever seen. And he responds with the worst bow I've ever seen. And then we freeze frame, and that is the end of the movie.
Yep.
And then,
this is
we get my super
almost
pump.
My super pump. Yeah, this was almost
my favorite moment of this entire film. I'm going to read what comes on the screen
verbatim, please.
At the end,
verbatim,
and then please. Doge, I'm going to shatter your entire world.
I read the acknowledgement at the end, and I was like, "That there is no way."
This is this is amazing.
Okay.
This is amazing. Is insanity. This movie is based on a true story, quote unquote. The movie ends with this. This is my super pump. This motion picture is based upon true events in the life of Frank W. Dukes. From 1975 to 1980, Frank W. Dukes fought 329 matches. He retired undefeated as the world heavyweight full contact Kumite champion. Mr. Dukes still holds 4 world records. Fastest knockout, 3.2 seconds.
Oh,
fastest
my God.
Punch. Fastest punch with a knockout, 0.12 seconds.
What?
What does that even fastest mean? Fastest kick with a knockout, 72 miles per hour. What does fastest punch with a knockout measured in time even mean?
That's
most
crazy.
Consecutive also, knockouts. Most No. Listen to this. Most consecutive knockouts in a single tournament.
In a single tournament.
56.
What?
Let's
this
but,
is the
but
best
let's
one
talk
of
about
all.
Tournament. Let's talk about tournament brackets though.
Sure.
For you to have 56 consecutive knockouts.
What? How many people?
This is the final line is my favorite. Subsequently, Mr. Dukes founded the first American ninjutsu system, Dukes Ryu. No. Doge, Not a word of this movie is true.
That's crazy.
The man Frank Dukes true. Just lied about all of it. And they were like, yeah, let's make a movie about your amazing life. And in the years following this movie, they like met people that were from that world and from that area.
Books written about how like,
and they're just like,
people, he got duped. It's all a lie.
The Kumite doesn't exist. That's not real. There's no guy that came and did all of this. Like, that nobody is came crazy. And fought all this stuff. He was like,
also, he wasn't in the CIA.
Yeah, he was like military reserves and just like chilled. He wasn't like this. He just lied things. About his entire life. And then
they got a movie of honor.
Yep.
Yeah. They got duped, absolutely duped. But thanks, dude. Thanks, Dukes.
That's crazy. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Being,
yeah.
We've reviewed Ip Man on this.
Yeah.
And that, right. like, those are true things, right? It's a little bit dramatized because it's a movie. But this guy actually had legitimate influence on
the
martial arts.
The guy was there on the set. Frank Dukes was on set. He was the fight coordinator for this movie.
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme said that it was the hardest training he's ever had in his life. Because Dukes was like, no, that's not enough.
Dukes said he probably
not,
made
that's
him
not how
do
I would have done it.
He said, you're not big enough to
he
play
probably
me.
Made him do
that's
things he made
crazy.
Up.
Yes, he definitely made him
ridiculous
do things,
he made up. Things he made up. And a lot of it was glutes.
Yeah, clearly. It
a
is
a lot of the workout.
I was watching this and I was crying actual tears from my face during the 329 matches retired undefeated. Like all the stats, created his own ninjutsu system. It's like Rex Kwon Do,
no, dude.
Like
yes,
he just
it
made
is.
It up.
That's crazy.
Here's what's so special.
When did we
about
find
Bloodsport?
Out that he made it up?
After. Like I read it. I was Googling like what is up with this?
Yeah.
Amazing
Frank
thing
Duke
about this
says
movie
he became
is-
a ninja at 16. Won an underground mixed martial arts fighting tournament in 1975 and was a top secret CIA operative during the 1980s. There's a photo of him and Jean-Claude Van Damme together.
Like this guy is a mall sword guy. Like this is a dude that hangs out in the mall and buys katanas and then was like, I'm going to lie about a bunch of cool stuff I did to make a movie that is awesome. And I'm so glad he did that.
I mean, really, we have Frank Dukes to thank for the one of the most successful fighting. Like Mortal Kombat might not have happened without Bloodsport, and Bloodsport
Frank
doesn't happen
Dukes.
Without Frank Dukes.
Frank Dukes, I have no beef with you lying about your life story. I'm so glad you did it. I would be devastated if this movie didn't exist. But this is a mall ninja, dude. This is a guy that buys katanas in the mall and then convinced everybody that he was legit.
Bloodsport, and specifically, I want to talk about Chong Li a little bit again. Chong Li is the character I played when I was 8 with my friends when we were fighting.
Sure.
This entire movie, though, Bloodsport is playing imaginary, like making up stuff, right? It's like when kind of like lying helped aid the story.
Right.
Like when you're talking about what your dad does or when you're talking about what you did that day. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well.
Yeah, this is the uncle that works at Nintendo of movies.
You've won 328. Oh, I have won 329. 329.
I'm actually undefeated.
I've won. Yeah, I'm actually never. I've never lost.
In one tournament, I knocked out
the personas you make up so that you can do your wrestling matches on the trampoline. That's what Bloodsport is.
There's two things that I want to say. Dukes sued Jean-Claude Van Damme in 1996, claiming he was owed $50,000 for a film that was never made when the production company folded. Duke said the story was based on his life, but evidence linking him to the film script had been destroyed in the 1994 earthquake.
What?
And then,
dude, this guy is like, catch me if you can, but sucks.
There's a comment on this article from a user whose username is check_your_math and said, so apparently he's claimed that a 60 round single elimination tournament is what he fought in. And it would take this many competitors, 2 to the power of 60. In other words, he would compete against 1,152,929,524,608,847,000 competitors, which means Frank Dukes beat every living thing in the known solar system and probably most of the living things in this quadrant of the galaxy to become the champion of the Kumite in 1975.
Holy moly, dude. It doesn't get better.
That is amazing.
Unreal. I mean, literally, it's unbelievable.
It doesn't get better.
This movie made 10 times what it cost. Like, it's amazing. It cost like $1 million and it made $11 million worldwide.
Good.
How did this cost $1 million? I guess plane tickets
flights.
To Hong Kong.
Yeah, flights. Yeah. That's all I could think of.
Plane tickets to Hong Kong and a ham and cheese sandwich every single day, I guess, for everybody.
This was
there.
Like some of the last that we would see of the walled city, because it wasn't actual. That was real, by the way, in the midst of all the imaginary things, but it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And so I think,
one of the only films to get footage in it, I believe.
Lugging all that equipment over.
That's crazy.
Cost a lot.
Which is interesting that they chose to do that and pay that extra expense, because the Frank Duke said it actually took place in Nassau in the Bahamas.
Oh, really? I missed that
part. Yeah. At one point he said that. I mean, who knows what he said other times about the Kumite?
Yeah. I mean, this is cooler.
Yeah, it's a lot cooler.
This is way cooler.
Although, can you imagine if it was pirates? If everybody around was just pirates hosting this fighting tournament?
Would it, be honest, would it have made any difference? Like... Does it really matter?
What gets me less talking in this movie? Because that's the changes I want to make.
Maybe pirates. Yeah, pirates might have done it.
Pirates might be less talking.
Pirates can say so much with so little.
They only need that. They only need one of the 26 letters of the alphabet.
Yeah. It's really not so bad.
Arr.
No, we got it. No, we got it.
Because that's the only one they need. Because it's what they say all the time.
I didn't realize that's interesting. I'd watch
you better
this again
start
today.
Believing in secret death tournaments, Mr. Dukes. You're in one.
You better say mate, Mr. Dukes.
We named the monkey Jackson.
Do we rate it?
Yeah.
How?
What do we do?
I guess we do. We're going to rate it. We're going to do the scientific cinema scale. It's perfect. It's as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. It's followed by rent it and then stream it. And after that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
You know, Heat, the movie Heat, and having that in the docket always kind of, maybe it had too good of a taste in my mouth. I had heard too many good things about it being an actual movie. A good movie, from my friend Jordan and from other people that had seen it. Some who have said it's one of their favorite heist movies, which we've done a heist series.
Where does it belong? Wouldn't have the balls to play that, I think.
And then, I just thought about Jean-Claude Van Damme in the actual Splits, in a Splits that is even a little bit more than Splits. And Bloodsport just made all the sense. What a lovely little backup plan. It should never have been. But I'll go ahead and buy the poster. I think, especially if we are in the realm of Dad or Day, you know, we talked about how Total Recall, you don't get much more Dad or Day than that. And that's true because we get ridiculous things in space. But ridiculous things on a much smaller scale in just a fightings is also very Dad or Day.
Yeah.
So many people put fake blood in their mouth and were so excited to just spit it out, you know?
Yeah.
It does feel like everything was one take because there's no way.
For sure.
It wasn't. It's so bad.
There were no reshoots.
Right.
It's so bad. I love B movies and this is a B movie for sure.
Yeah.
And we didn't really talk about how bad the fighting was, but dude, it's pretty bad.
That's which is also crazy because they had legendary 16-year-old ninja Frank Dukes there as the fight coordinator.
Dude, 359 undefeated matches.
He beat every living thing, quadrillions of living things in the solar system. That's crazy. Every bacteria, like every microbe, he punched to death.
None of the styles were real. That was one of the trivia things. It's like, none of this is actual like fighting style. None of this is real.
You know, they didn't trick me.
Didn't trick me, dude.
The one guy whose approach on the mat was as though he was actively driving one of those Harleys with the really tall handles. There was that one guy that like came up and he was like ready for it.
Is he also, the one whose kickboxing leg was guy? Broken?
I don't remember. That was pretty horrible.
So this is a podcast that has watched, you know, The Thing. Like we've watched some of the best prosthetic. Like creations, gruesome creations ever.
Yeah.
What happened to his leg is feels impossible because I could not decipher it.
Bar with
and
hot
when
sauce
we cut to the reporter and she's just like, oh my gosh, wow.
Carter, wow. We talked about this a bit last week. We talked about watching the eyebrows last week. Not an yeah. eyebrow moved in this whole movie, eyebrow. Dude.
Oh my
not even God. A single eyebrow moved.
Did you see that?
Forrest Whitaker moved his eyebrows, but he shouldn't have.
Oh my God.
He shouldn't have.
Wow.
It's a poster for me.
Gullet.
It's a poster for me simply because imagine you come over to my house to hang out and I have a Bloodsport poster on my wall.
Yeah, of course.
That tells you exactly what kind of guy I am. That's just like such a clear signal to be like, oh, this guy, he's pretty cool. Or problematic, but hopefully context clues would lead you to cool.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, I think you'd have to get a couple other ingredients.
I have
smoothie.
A Bloodsport poster right above my gun safe.
Yeah, that's yeah. Sometimes when you buy a poster, it's Arrival.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you buy a poster, it's Barbie. Sometimes when you buy a poster, it's Bloodsport. Today, it's that one. Of course, I'm buying. This is some of the most fun I've ever had watching a movie in my entire life. Ignited in me. There's not enough tournament movies. I don't watch enough tournament movies, and I love a tournament movie. This movie made me want to watch. Have you guys ever seen Never Back Down?
No, I haven't.
Never Back Down is just Bloodsport if it was douchey instead of like earnest.
Cool.
Yeah.
I want to watch Never Back Down again. Like this movie, it changed something in me. And I would watch it again today. I'm buying the poster. This movie rules. It's 89 minutes. If you've got 89 minutes, it's free on Amazon Prime. Just go watch this movie. Like pour yourself a drink and enjoy 89 minutes of a beautiful man. I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme is a specimen. His skin is so clear. His muscles are so large.
But so hard. Probably hurts him to sit down. It clicks when he sits on something hard, like a wooden bench.
He's an incredibly beautiful human, and he just punches things. It's great.
It sounds like if you don't... Like when you're bowling, if there's too much air under the ball.
It sounds like when you walk on a hard surface in dress shoes whenever he sits down.
Oh my God. This movie's incredible. The best decision we've ever made as a podcast is bailing off and watching this.
Yeah.
Instead.
Yeah.
Just a game day audible. I was at lunch with a friend and was dreading having to go home and hit play on a 3-hour
movie. Dude, I was
dreading
watching Heat.
Heat is an amazing movie. It is a slow burn. I would barely call Heat a heist movie. I remember finishing it for the first time because I wanted to watch a heist movie and be like, that was great. Not sure I'd call it a heist movie. There's a heist in it, but I'm not sure I'd call it a heist movie.
Yeah.
Would you call this a biopic?
Bloodsport is also not a heist movie. Yeah, Bloodsport's my favorite biopic. I think that movies need to stop being self-aware and start trying to just be earnest again.
Just try to be cool.
Just try to be cool.
This movie has that same heat that the first Fast and Furious has.
Yeah.
Before it knew that it was like douchey dad rock vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just try to be cool.
And when it was still just trying to be cool.
Yep.
Bloodsport has that. And I guarantee if you pop in Bloodsport 2, it knows too much.
Yeah.
I guarantee Bloodsport 2 knows too much. Maybe we should just watch a bunch of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Muscles from Brussels, baby.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know,
we could call it Van Damned If I Do, Van Damned If I Don't.
Come on now.
Or we call it Jean-Claude Van Dang.
Yeah. Should we also not do Matrix? Is Matrix too good?
Matrix is really good, but Aliens is good.
Yeah.
Aliens is pretty dad, though. Matrix, I don't know that I feel like it's very dad.
It's not my dad for sure, but, you know, not all dads are not a monolith.
Okay. We might have to reconsider that. We're going to think about that one. But we for sure are doing the movie that we do next week.
Face Off. Face Off is coming next.
Okay.
We'll keep you posted. Sometimes things change, and that's a good thing. But anyway, I don't know. To end this episode, just say your name, and I don't know. I don't have anything. It's Bloodsport, man. What am I supposed to do? Just, what would your signature move be in the tournament?
I got it. Easy.
For two chunks and a hunk, I'm Jordan, and I would go for the eye poke, Three Stooges style eye poke.
Yeah.
But the second time I do it, the second time I do it, when they're ready to block it, I would stab them.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Can you bring a knife to a Bloodsport fight?
If there's not a rule that you can uppercut a guy in the beans. So I assume
there's not a lot of rules what you could do.
You can throw blind powder. Nobody stopped that.
Oh, that's true. He did bring an accessory.
Everybody blind was just powder. Like, I mean, play through.
Hey, did he pull it out of his pants?
Did you miss the scene where the guy put the pill in his waistband?
Oh, I did miss that. I just saw him pull. I thought it was like gold.
No. They definitely put the Alka-Seltzer in there.
Yeah. Okay. A guy came over and was like toweling him down and then slipped it into the waistband of his shorts.
Gotcha.
Oh, what I was going to say, by the way, the kickboxer in the gold shorts that has his right foot wrapped the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Dead ringer for Frenchie from The Boys.
Yes. I thought that too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought the exact same thing too. I'm Doge, and my move is something I'm known for. I wrote my biography about it. It's something that a ninja taught me when I was 14.
Doge Kwando.
It's called the Stink Flipper. And
Taekwondo.
Yeah, Taekwondo. It's called the Stink Flipper, and the way the Stink Flipper works is we're fighting and we're squared off, but my hands are like real low. Like, you know, if you square off, they're like up here, like it's your like a boxer.
Like,
but mine are real low, like waist height. And you're going to run at me, and I'm going to use my incredible ninja speed that I learned when I was 14 to insert my two fingers, my first two fingers of my right hand into your nostrils, and then lift you by your nose and flip you over my head.
Oh my God.
That's great.
Yeah. I could probably do it in 0.01 seconds, probably fastest knockout.
Yeah, probably a 0.01 second knockout. That's
amazing. Probably
.005
seconds.
We measure kick in miles per hour, but we measure.
I don't
punch
think they
right
were doing that or
time.
Ever have done that. It doesn't make any sense.
Fastest kick with a knockout, 72 miles an hour. Fastest punch with a knockout, 0.12 seconds. I don't understand.
Unbelievable. I'm Carter, and I need you to watch out. I need you to watch out for your shins.
Okay.
Because I do this thing where I'll get up in the air and kick at simultaneously both of my legs, right? I'm going shin or knee, immediate debilitation. Like you're going to inverse. Your legs are going to inverse and just break because I'm going to double kick so hard.
Yeah.
You're going to have some time. Listen, you're going to have plenty of time to get out of the way.
Yeah,
You're up in the air for a while.
Because I'm
They're
up there for
Carter
a minute.
Rue.
Yeah, but... if I land it, you're done. You're absolutely donezo. Sorry about you.
See, this is why we used to say this is how you get clicks, because now we're just trapped in episode hell and there's no way to end it.
That's how you get glutes.
Or you're just too afraid to do what needs to be done.
Do something that's an exclamation point. Do something
Bye.
That...
Ha ha ha.